ततो जाया मुदिरयेत् नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 75 टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। एकदान्ताः पुरे तस्य वीक्ष्य दुर्योधनः श्रियम् अतप्यत् राजसूयस्य महित्वं च अच्युता आत्मनः। एकदान्तः पुरे तस्य वीक्ष्य दुर्योधनश्रियम् अतप्याद् राजसूयस्य महित्वं च च्युतात्मनः। एकदान्तः पुरे तस्य वीक्ष्य दुर्योधनश्रियम् अतप्याद् राजसूयस्य महित्वं च च्युतात्मनः। एकदान्तः पुरे तस्य वीक्ष्य दुर्योधनश्रियम् अतप्याद् राजसूयस्य महित्वं च च्युतात्मनः। दान्तापुरे तस्य वीक्ष्य दुर्योधनस्य चातुचात्मनः। एकदा अन्तपुरे तस्य वीक्ष्य दुर्योधनाश्रियम् पुरे तस्य दुर्योधनश्रियम् राजसूयस्य एतं च च्युतात्मनः। माताजि एकदान्ताः एकदा one day antapure within the palace tasya his maharaj yudhishthir's viksha observing duryodhanaha duryodhan shriyam opulence atapyat he was pained rajasuyasya of the rajasuya sacrifice mahitvam the greatness cha and achyuta atmanaha of him king Yudhishthir whose very soul was lord achyuta. Translation by the disciples of his divine grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: one day Duryodhan, while observing the riches of king Yudhishthir's palace, felt greatly disturbed by the magnificence of both the Rajasuya sacrifice and his performer, the king, whose life and soul was Lord Achyuta. Text 32. Yasmin Narendra Dijendra Surendra Lakshmir Nana Vibhanti Kila Vishwa Saropak Srijopak लप्तः ताभि पतिन्द्रपद राजसुतोपस्ते यस्यां विशक्त हृदय कुरुराद अतप्यात्। ट्रांसलेशन: इन दैट पैलेस ऑल द कलेक्टेड ऑपुलेंस ऑफ द किंग्स ऑफ मेन डीमंस एंड गॉड्स वर ब्रिलियंटली मैनिफेस्ट। having been brought there by the cosmic inventor Maya Danava. With those riches, Draupadi served her husbands, and Duryodhan, the prince of the Kurus, lamented because he was very much attracted to her. Text number 33. Yasmin tada madupater maheshi sahasram shroni bharena shanakai kvanad angri shobham madde sucharu kuchakunkama shonaharam shriman mukham prachala kundala kundala kuntala dhyam. Translation. Lord Madhupati's thousands of queens were also staying in the palace. Their feet moved slowly, weighed down by their hips, and the bells on their feet tinkled charmingly. Their waists were very slender, the kumkum from the breast reddened their pearl necklaces, and their swaying of earrings and flocks of hair enhanced the exquisite beauty of their faces. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, after looking at such beauties in the palace of King Yudhishthir, Duryodhan became envious. He became especially envious and lustful upon seeing the beauty of Draupadi because he had cherished a special attraction for her from the very beginning of her marriage with the Pandavas. In the marriage selection assembly of Draupadi, Duryodhan had also been present, and with other princes he had been very much captivated by the beauty of Draupadi, but he had failed to achieve her.
ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्या नाम्ने गौरतुषे नमः. पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम्. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्त नमोसुते. तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. The sequel of the Rajasuya Yajna and the grandeur and the contrast of the killing of Shishupal has created much turbulence in Duryodhan's mind. Extreme display of power, opulence and strength, especially for his own adversary King Yudhishthir, and especially when they had cheated very nicely, sent them to Khandavaprastha, and seeing the Pandavas arising from complete lack of opportunity, disadvantage, coming to such a high position of power, strength and opulence, has really disturbed, not just disturbed, has agitated the mind of Duryodhan.
In fact, we find the constant agitation of Duryodhan, which has created the right setting for the Mahabharata war. Had it not been for the for a very superior quality of envy, arrogance, deceit, diplomacy, Krishna wouldn't have to arrange in this war. Even the war was required complete participation and performance from Duryodhan. I mean, he had to be very much determined, like the Pandavas. And therefore we find constantly the seed of envy fructifying into various fruits. Fruits of various misendeavor, fruits of various conspiracies, various duplicity, and various kind of torture and violences. So, seems like envy is natural to the human society, but it's actually unnatural for the soul, as human society breeds this envy more and more, and the entire collapse of values takes place, and injustice becomes justifiable. Injustice becomes the norm of the society. The criminals, the adharmis, set the tone of conduct, and that's how the society becomes degraded to that of animals. In fact, we will discuss. In fact, we'll see the stage of Duryodhan's envy. This envy was born right when they were in the childhood days. And we find that one various features of envy, or how do we find what is enviousness? Enviousness means, in case of Duryodhan, we'll discuss that always there is a question of being threatened. Always there is a fear of being threatened. If a person is constantly threatened by some adversary or some superior, then there is always a semblance of envy which is lurking in our consciousness. Someone will take my position, someone will usurp my superiority, someone will take away my prominence, someone might snatch away my position. Threatened, constantly being threatened. And therefore he tried that, thinking that Bhima was so powerful, because in the same category as Duryodhan, he was very powerful, and he used to really Bhima used to do a lot of mischief with Duryodhan, but he took it very seriously. As such, there was a seed of envy, and then there was constant display of Bhima's strength simmered the envy, and therefore he went to the stage of killing Bhim by poisoning him. So being threatened is a feature of envy. Thereafter, actually, when the Pandavas were sent to Varnavrat, and then they were when they came back, they won Draupadi. He was more disturbed. He sought to cheat them again. And this time he plotted in a way that Bhishma, Dronacharya, Bhishma was he rather created a division of the Kuru kingdom just to satisfy Duryodhan, to think that he will be peaceful. But it so happened that after doing that, in fact, when they were in exile post the gambling match, Duryodhan wanted to go, and Shakuni said, you know, it's not just good that our enemies are suffering in the exile. We should go and see how they are suffering. That increases the joy of defeating an adversary. To see someone, to inflict pain, and to see the pain, and to see and to enjoy while you experience the pain of others, is a feature of envy. So then he went they have asked the Dhritarashtra's permission that we want to see the position of our cows which are lying in Dvaitavan, because Pandavas were at the same time in Dvaitavan, and he wanted to see and go and show his opulence. So they took around 8,000 chariots, 4,000 elephants and all the soldiers, and just requested Dhritarashtra that we just want to camp to Dvaitavan where our cows are there, and we will take good care of them, we want to take stock of the situation, and we will not go where the Pandavas are, so please give us permission. Shakunikarna, Duryodhan sought permission, Dushasan joined, and when they went there, they started to set up tents and very opulent settings. And as soon as the soldiers, they wanted to just show their opulence, and the soldiers went to the lake close by, and they were stopped by the representatives of assistants of Gandharvas, or Gandharvas headed by Chitraratha. And then there was a war between the Kurus and the Gandharvas, in which Karna set up a very bright display of war chivalry, but was defeated, and his chariot was broken, and he had to jump and scout on Dushasan's chariot and flee away. Just he saved his skin being killed by the Gandharvas. Duryodhan was attacked by the Gandharvas, his chariot was broken, his horses were killed, charioteer was killed, he was forced to surrender to the Gandharvas headed by Chitraratha, knowing well that that Duryodhan has come here to exhibit his opulence and try to incite more suffering on Pandavas. Indra sent Chitrarath to capture Duryodhan. Why? Because this was his feature of envy, going to extremes. So therefore Chitrarath captured Duryodhan, and this news came to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was again concerned. He said, this is not good. As long as we are Kurus, we are 105 in front of the whole world, we may have some dissension amongst each other, so let us release Duryodhan from the captivity of, because they also captured the queens of the Kurus, so it's an insult to the Kuru dynasty, Kuru family. Bhim said, it is very nice, we got without our effort what we wanted, Duryodhan is now captive, so let us enjoy this situation. But Yudhishthir sought another way to convince Bhim to do that, and saying that, see, if you free Duryodhan, then that will be more insult than, you know, what you are enjoying right now, because then you will free them from the Gandharvas, and you will then say that now I am freed you, so that will be more insult, so you enjoy that insult better. So Bhim could understand this logic, while Yudhishthir was in a different frame of mind. He was always pardoning, forgiving. And then thereafter we find that Duryodhan was freed by Arjun. There's a very fierce battle between Arjun and Chitrarath. Chitrarath surrendered. He said, do you know why Duryodhan came here? That's exactly why we caught him captive. Made him captive so that he was trying to inflict more of suffering upon all of you, exhibiting his envy. So then Arjun brought Chitrarath, said, I will go and explain to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So they went together and then explained the whole situation, and then said, Yudhishthira said, okay, let us free Duryodhan. So Duryodhan was freed, and he was feeling so insulted. First he was insulted by Chitrarath, and now insulted by all the five Pandavas whom he came to inflict his inflict pain by exhibiting his own opulence, and he was completely his arrogance was completely shattered, and he went back, and Karna said, oh, so you came and defeated Chitrarath, you come back alive, great, all glories to your war heroics. And then he said, no, I was actually defeated by Chitrarath and then insulted by Pandavas both. It was double. I cannot live anymore in this body. So he said, I am going to fast to death. Shakuni said, no, why do you want to worry about all these things, forget all these things. Karna said, see, actually they were your dependents, Pandavas, because they are now living in exile, they are your subjects, they are supposed to protect you. So he was trying to explain in various ways, but could not convince. Duryodhan sat for the fast to death, not willing to go back to Hastinapur. The demons, the Danavas, in the subterranean planets were highly disturbed. They invoked goddesses, and the goddess was invoked to bring Duryodhan to him to have a conversation. So Duryodhan's subtle form in his was invoked. The goddess brought that form, Duryodhan, to the Danavas, and he said, we have prayed for you. Your birth is divine. In fact, Lord Shiva has given you this body which is stronger than thunderbolt, and it is so strong that it can defeat any adversary. And the lower part of your body has been blessed by Parvati Devi that can attract the most beautiful females of this world. So you are blessed, and we have invested in you, and we have assisted you by sending all the Danavas. We have possessed Bhishma, Drona and Karna, that they will be forced to overlook the suffering of the Pandavas, the treachery of the Pandavas, so that they can support you even in your injustice, while you continue to do your injustice. So why do you worry? If you worry about Arjun, if you worry about Bhim, they can't do anything, because Bhishma, Drona and Karna, they're all possessed, and we have also possessed the Shamshaptakas, one Akshani division, which Krishna gave to Duryodhan as a part of the pact. And then Duryodhan felt energy. I am supported by a whole civilization of Danavas. And he was so encouraged. Then he went back and said, at the right time Bhishma will be possessed, Narakasura will possess Karna, and he will take vow to kill Arjun, so do not fear. And that's how he went back and said, okay, I will go back to Hastinapur. And when he went back, he was so so confident of this. And that's how we find that he sent Karna. Karna took a vow to kill Arjun. Thereafter, he sent Karna went all across the kingdoms and conquered various kings on behalf of Duryodhan, just like Arjun did for Yudhishthira Maharaj. He wanted to exactly replicate. So the next thing of the envy, feature of envy, is exclusivity. I want to solely be the signature of my prowess. No one should match my prowess. If Yudhishthira Maharaj has done something, I must at least achieve that much. All the people said, as the Brahman said, you cannot perform another Rajasuya, because as long as King Yudhishthira is alive, you cannot do that. So they suggested to do Vaishnava Yajna. Only once that Yajna was done, that is by Lord Vishnu. The second Yajna was done by Duryodhan, successfully, respectfully, and very very systematically that Yajna was finished. Imagine, Duryodhan was so pious, religious, fully ascribing to the conduct of Kshatriya, that he was qualified in all sense. In fact, we can see how people follow dharma in a very selective and isolated way. So Duryodhan was doing exactly like that. There are many, in fact, if you see an example in this modern society, we find that there are many dairy houses. And all these dairy houses are only taking care of cows, feeding them nicely, getting milk. But such a dairy house, if it is not following the path of dharma, will have a slaughterhouse next to it as a subsidiary, because the milk are only for cow. Milk is, the cows are only for the milk, and as soon as the milk doesn't come from the cows, then their unit only says that, okay, now these cows are another resource. So they see the various opulences or various gifts of nature as something that has to be exploited by them, and that's how they follow dharma. They may worship the cow, but only for extracting their greed from it. Imagine such a civilization where everyone performs their dharma in an isolated way. Only creates violence and disparity in society, and more insensitiveness to these understandings may make us also victim of that isolation. And therefore, bhakti is something which is integrated. Everything is interconnected. Everything is interdependent. And therefore, no act of devotional service, like we were visited yesterday by one of the brahmacharis of the Patmeda Goshala, and they were saying that, what is Krishna without the cow? You cannot even, aap parikalpana nahi kar sakte. Krishna hai, we also in the altar, we have the cow licking the feet of Gopinanchi. You cannot think of Krishna without the cows. Similarly, we cannot think of dharma without all its subsidiaries well interconnected, well interlinked. And therefore, Duryodhan was doing Vaishnav Yajna. He is doing Vaishnav Yajna. But he can be the most adharmic person. And therefore, the feature of envy, and Prabhupada says in one of the talks, in fact, he is talking about how people can be so indifferent and insensitive. In 1976, in a class, he told a story in the lecture. Until 1914, there were some judges who were sitting for discussion, and a British judge asked Ashutosh Mukherjee that these Germans are coming now. The British had already come, the Dutch had already come, the Germans were coming. So Germans are coming, what are you going to do? He said, we will welcome them also. He said, why? Because you just taught us to be slaves. So today British has come, tomorrow German has come, we will be slave only. We don't mind whose slaves we are, because we are taught to be slaves by you. So we won't even question. So Prabhupada said that, and then he said, therefore, he said, there is a feature of envy which is constantly going on in this material world. To fulfill one's own greed and ambitions, one will justify anything in the name of dharma or in the name of anything. And give a story of a lamb. A lamb was coming to drink water from a lake, and as soon as the lamb drank the water from the lake, the tiger on the other side said, hey, you muddied the lake, you spoiled the lake, I will kill you now. The idea is that find some reason, find some excuse, whether valid or invalid, and just express your envy. This is the height of enviousness. That means there is indifference, insensitiveness, and there is total ignorance that one can be dragged into. So therefore, this feature of envy is so, and Prabhupada said, this is how animal killing is going on in this world. There is justification on the name of compassion, on the name of on the name of welfare, that animal killing is a must. Prabhupada said animal killing is an expression of envy. And that's how we find exclusivity. The first is being threatened, second is to enjoy seeing inflicting pain, third is to feel exclusivity, and fourth is to cause failure of your adversary. Durvasmani came to Duryodhan, and again he was very dharmic. His every act of dharma was meant to create adharma. Right? And he was so confident about it, because he was practicing dharma very systematically, very accurately, very minutely, very systematically, very scientifically, very shastrically. No deviation. Durvasmani came, he fed him twice, thrice, he kept on asking. Duryodhan tried to frustrate him, but Duryodhan was so peacefully and so very, very, very tolerantly. He served Durvasmani. And when Durvasmani asked, what benediction you want? He was waiting for that words. What benediction you want? And Karna, Shakuni were always there to tell him what to do. He said, ask Durvasmani to go when Draupadi has finished the meals. That means he also disclosed to his envy to Durvasmani also. Go when Draupadi has finished the meals, and he knows Durvasmani also happy testing. And Duryodhan wanted to see that they failed the test. So they went, and before that, Vyasdev had come to the Pandavas, and he had told them the story of Mudgal Rishi. Now, just as there was something being plotted by Duryodhan, there were the Pandavas were constantly taking counsel and direction from the sages in the forest also. They didn't stop their Kshatriya Dharma. They did it even when they were in the forest. That means even in difficult times, one must not deviate from one's stipulated duty. And told the story of Mudgal Rishi, who was feeding, was himself, he hardly earned anything, but made sure he fed everyone sumptuously. Anyone would come to beg charity from him, he would feed any time of the day. Durvas Muni came and he fed him sumptuously. He went back, came after some time, and I am again hungry. And he had nothing in his home. He kept on begging, getting from everyone, and 6 times Durvas Muni came. Imagine, in the testing mood. And after sixth time he said, I am completely satisfied with you. You deserve to go in the heavenly planets. The Swargvasis, they came. The descendants of heavenly planets, they came. The representatives of heavenly planets, they came and said, Mudgal Rishi, we have come to take you to heaven. Mudgal Rishi said, what is there in heaven? Tell me, what about the advantages and disadvantages staying in heaven? So he told about all the advantages, that body does not become, does not spread any odor, there is no soiling, there is no old age, there is no disease, it's such a very nice situation, there is no need, there is only opulence. Only disadvantage is that you cannot perform any pious credits there. You have to only exhaust. You cannot generate. You cannot invest. You have to only exhaust. So he said, then what is the point? And then you come back to this world. Again, after enjoying for such a long time, he said, then I don't wish to go. Which is a place where there is no exhaustion of credits and there is constant investment of piety. He said, that is only possible when you go to the Vaikuntha Loka. He said, then I will go then. I will go there. And thereafter he meditated on Lord Vishnu and he ascended to the spiritual world. So when this story was explained, the point was explained is that one should not give up doing charity. To the Pandavas, Vyasadev told them the point. Therefore, charity is very must. Even it is very difficult to part away from one's hard-earned earnings, one has to perform this duty. And therefore, the Pandavas had heard this story and then Durvas Muni came. And the whole story happened and then Durvas Muni was feeling so satisfied when they went to the lake and Krishna came and ate those morsels and saved them. And the Pandavas were constantly, and then this is how Yudhishthir was always feeling guilty and Duryodhan was feeling always envious. Imagine, here there was excessive adharma and here there was excessive dharma. Which one to tackle? So Krishna says, okay, I will have to size up excessive dharma to destroy excessive adharma. Like Yudhishthir was excessively tolerant, Bhim was excessively violent, Arjun was excessively compassionate, and therefore they are all excesses. Ati sarvatra varjayat, Chanakya Pandit says that even Bali Maharaj did excess. He says in his, that to give an explanation of on a mundane level, right, on a very practical level, that you know he gave excess dharma. What was the need to give so much? What was the need to say when he knew that he was going to lose? So he was saying that ati sarvatra varjayat means excess of anything is bad. That means excess of being too good to those people who are too bad. And therefore the last expression of envy was Duryodhan when he was about to die. The envy was not even finished then. This is the nature of envy. And it is said that Chanakya Pandit said, better to live in the company of a serpent than to live in the company of a envious person. And we find that even when Duryodhan was killed in that by their unfair means, and then Duryodhan was saying, I have lived my life as per Kshatriya conduct. I have enjoyed everything. I have enjoyed royal opulence, kingdom, everything. And I am now going to heaven. Well, you Pandavas, you suffered in exile. And you will suffer the onslaught of being adharmic in the way that you kill all of us. Bhishma, Drona and Kripacharya. And myself. So therefore, you all will suffer while you rot here. And I will go to heaven. At the same time, there were Gandharvas who shot flower petals and the bugles were being sounded. And then there was the breeze, soft, cool breezes that were flowing. and Pandavas became really morose, guilty. What have we done? We have done something wrong. Duryodhana's envy was so sharp that he wanted to make them suffer even while he was dying. After dying also they should suffer. Envy does not even die at the time of death. So that is the nature of envy. So much was strong that Duryodhana's envy, and that's how we explain that Krishna was feeling the Pandavas had lost all moral hope. They might have again done collective samadhi after this. So he said, it was only by my yog maya that I arranged all these things to happen. You are not at fault. And it is also said that if you have a stronger enemy, you have to defeat your enemy by unfair means. And this is justifiable. So on a spiritual level, I did it. On a moral level or on a social level, this is permissible. It is not a question of regularly doing it, but in the case of these situations, special situations, these are the special concessions. And then the Pandavas were little, their guilt was resolved. So therefore, this is what we find here. Duryodhana humiliated, but the humiliation came when Krishna planned such humiliation, when the Khandoprasa episode happened, where Arjun was told to allow Agni to burn the Khandavan, even at the cost of fighting Indra and all the demigods. Why? So that all the serpents will come out. Because as soon as there is fire in the forest, the serpents will come out and they will constantly try to escape. Without the fire, they are always there. So Krishna wanted to eliminate this serpents, envious serpents, who would have been one of the forces while fighting the Kurukshetra war. And therefore Takshak was an enemy of the Pandavas, and therefore he escaped. And therefore that was the problem, that later, that one Shashru Shesha Asheshatvam, that means even the semblance of an enemy also should be destroyed. And that Takshak later on came and bit Parikshit Maharaj. So therefore envy never dies, it keeps on propagating, perpetuating. And therefore what Krishna wanted to do is that destroy this enviousness. So much was envy that it was born in the heart of Dhritarashtra. Even after everything was done, Ashwatthama was envious more. He sent that Brahmastra to kill Parikshit. And after that also Dhritarashtra came and he wanted to embrace Bhima and kill him. Even after losing all of his 100 sons, his sorrow was not much more than his envy was. So person envy is so disastrous. And therefore you find that even today's Shripad Ramacharya's disappearance day, and we find in his life all the great souls had to face such situations. And therefore by the power of dharma, by the power of bhakti, by the power of being steadfast to the spiritual master's instructions, and the strong spiritual sadhana, these tendencies within ourselves have to be exterminated. At the same time they have to be exterminated externally also. So there is a collective war, individual and collective war against envy. And one can never think that this war will end one day. This war will continue till this body is going to exist. Lust and anger, one has to check till one has this body and senses. Therefore it is very difficult. And therefore we find in the life of Sripad Ramanacharya that right from the beginning he was having an envious guru, Yadav Prakash, who didn't want his philosophy of Dvaitavad, where he wanted to clearly propagate or establish the superiority of devotional service, of Jiva being separate from the Supreme. So then he was asked about that shloka about Kapyasam, Pundarikaksham, Akshin, that eyes of Pundarikaksha, Lord, is like the Kapyasam. So he said Kapyasam means the rear, the redness that is compared to the rear part of the monkey. And he was so disgusted, Ramanuja, So he said, actually this is very disgusting explanation. Do you think there is something better than that? Yadav Prakash said, yes, I can tell you. Ka means water. P means one who drinks. And asan means that blossoms. That which is in water, where that which drinks water and that blossoms under the sun is the lotus flower. And therefore that is the lotus flower which is the reddish color. The same reddish color like the lotus flower is what the eyes of the Lord are. And therefore Ramanujacharya later was attempted to be killed by Yadav Prakash on his journey, and he was saved. Later when he became so popular in Srirangam, this priest was there, and he wanted to kill Ramanuja for his being famous. And therefore Ramanujacharya was offered, his wife, the priest's wife, made food mixed with poison. By the time of serving Ramanujacharya, she said, I cannot serve you this, please don't eat this. Ramanujacharya went and spoke to Goshtipurna. He said, by the power of your devotional service, the priest's attitude will be changed. So later the priest mixed poison that would kill 10 grown men in Charnamrit, and Ramanujacharya took that Charnamrit and drank with complete faith. And seeing that, and thereafter Ramanujacharya experienced ecstatic emotions. He was thinking that this is a sign of the effect of the poison, but actually it was the other way around. And then he saw that Ramanujacharya continued, he stayed, he lived. He felt, he started to bang his head on the floor, bruised, and said, what a sinful, envious person I am. And thereafter Ramanujacharya, he blessed him, he embraced him, and then he became a very devout servitor of Sripada Ramanujacharya. In fact, Sripada Ramanujacharya later had, there were 3 fingers of Yamanacharya which were closed. And as soon as Ramanujacharya said that, I take these 3 vows. One vow is that I will preach the message of this dualism all over India. Second, I will write a commentary on Sri Bhashya. And third, I will name one disciple on the name of Parashar. And thereafter, he went to. They realized that they had the Bodhayan Vritti, Bodhayan Sutra, Shastra, which was lying in Kashmir, with the Brahmins there, very elevated Brahmins, at the Sharda Pit. And when they went there, they found that these Brahmins did not want to share that, because they thought that the power of this dualism will be destroyed. The power of dualism will destroy the impersonal philosophy that has been propagated by them. So they refused that this book is not there anymore. So Durga Devi came to Ramacharya in the night and offered that book and said, you leave this place. So as they were leaving, they were accosted by this Brahmins. Later they snatched the book away, but by the time Kuresh had already memorized the whole Bodhayan Vritti. And thereafter they, with the help of Kuresh, Sripada Ramanujacharya wrote this Sri Bhashya commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And therefore we find that there is a step, there is a constant envy which is stopping us to serve Krishna and stopping others to serve Krishna. And therefore both has to be fought with. Prabhupada was there was 2 disciples who came to Prabhupada, sannyasi disciples, and Prabhupada asked them, so what is the cause when 2 disciples of the same spiritual master cannot get along? Right? We always find that 2 people of 1 guru also may not get along. What is because 2 disciples belong to 2 different spiritual masters? So then that devotee replied, Prabhupada, that is envy. Prabhupada said that it is true that it is envy. But who is envious? Time will tell. Prabhupada said, who is envious? Time will tell. And the one branch will blossom and other will wither away. So therefore, Prabhupada said that therefore envy is self-destructive. Envy is self-harming. And therefore, instead of trying to Prabhupada said, there is no perfect society. There will be competition in the society. We are not trying to eliminate competition. We are not trying to tell you that no envy means it's going to be peace and nothing else. We are not trying to eliminate competition. We are trying to eliminate envy in the competition. And Prabhupada said that because everyone is weak before Krishna. And we have to accept that. Prabhupada said therefore that do your services in such a way that you will not disturb, and there is an art of not disturbing others or trying to obstruct others. And this is another way that Prabhupada said this is nothing but your indirect appreciation for God brothers. That is spiritual. But if you try to stop, you are angry and you are envious. But if you are spiritually elevated, you will try to assist the devotee who is trying to serve in a nice way. And therefore, we find that Prabhupada was, Giriraj Maharaj was once trying to ask Prabhupada, I was dealing with a lot of envy, I have a lot of envy, but how to tell Prabhupada? So Prabhupada said, what is the practical way of doing it? So he said, Prabhupada said, then can you think of reasons why you shouldn't be envious? And if not, envy means not liking someone, right? So instead of not liking a devotee, transfer that not liking a devotee to not liking a demon. If you have it, still direct it to demons and who are trying to cause disturbance to devotees and trying to cause so much havoc in this world. So direct your envy there. Become constructive even in your envy. The first step is to, we have to see our, the whole story of Duryodhana is to analyze envy individually and collectively. To tackle envy, one has to be in the mood of appreciating in a way that we will assist, not to obstruct. And thirdly, dealing with envy is that we have to channelize it to non-devotees and demons. And therefore, Prabhupada said, therefore, in order that we do not invoke more envy from people. One reporter had come and Prabhupada was going to discuss with them, were discussing, and Prabhupada was sitting on the floor while there was an elevated Vyasasana there. So the reporter said, why don't you sit up on the seat, on the high seat, on a nice elevated seat? Prabhupada said, I am not sitting because you are envious of me. Because if I sit from there and talk to you, your envy will be increased. So Prabhupada said, never try to be in such a position where you create a situation of envy for others. That means we have to be non-envious and have to create situations where people not be envious of us. Pandavas did not want to create envy in Duryodhana. But Krishna said, no, let us make it happen immediately. Called Mayadano, make this wonderful palace so that Duryodhana envy will be completely incited. And that will be the situation where that will be a striking point when the scene will be set to eliminate this enviousness once for all. So therefore, has to be a very revolutionary attitude to dealing to envy. Individually, we have to be revolutionary in dealing with it, trying to channelize it, trying to sublimate it, trying to caution against it. At the same time, one has to make sure that we are trying to achieve all of this because we want to make Krishna and his movement in the center. We are not trying to bring ourselves to the center. And if that is the consciousness, that we are trying to always bring Krishna and bring Krishna's movement forward, then there will be only cooperation and there will be a lot of cohesiveness. And therefore, Shripa Ramanacharya was wonderful preaching, and all of his three vows were fulfilled. And when he was around 120 years old, it was time for his departure. He said, it is now my time. He had already named Parashar, the son of Kuresh, and he had been the next Acharya for the Shri Vaishnavas. And some final instructions are very nice of Shripa Ramanacharya, where he gave some good final instructions. He said, always do not depend on mundane knowledge of this world. Try to access transcendental knowledge every day. try to hear from Shastras and get knowledge, because that will give you the power to resist the pull of the senses. At the same time, also serve in a way that you will assist the previous acharyas, and give a very step-by-step discussion, that you go and spread the message of the Shri Bhashya. But if you cannot do that, just try to study the literature. If you cannot do that, go to Yadavadri, where there was the deity of the Yadavadri that was discovered by and established by and installed by Sri Ramanacharya. Go there and worship the deities. If you cannot do that, stay in your place and serve your spiritual master and meditate on your spiritual master. And if you cannot do that, then just try to associate with sadhus. And so he gave very step-by-step instruction. In fact, once Goshtipurna was meditating in a room closed for a long time, and Sri Paramahansa asked him, whom were you meditating on? There are no deities. He said, I was meditating on my spiritual master and the mantra given by my spiritual master. And then he realized, oh, there is so much of love for the Guru that Sri Paramahansa saw in Goshtipurna. So similarly, when one has complete love, faith and trust in the acharyas, in the parampara, in the spiritual master, to understand the message and to adapt that message sensitively, integrated manner, in a way that the adharma may be happening, but to uphold dharma. Pandavas did a lot of adharma in the war and they were feeling guilty for it, but actually it was Krishna's arrangement that was needed. And therefore we find here the whole humiliation of Duryodhan, that finally it was the right arrangement, right environment for the elimination of envy for once and all. And therefore Krishna rooted out that right from his inception. He saw it coming more and more, and he made sure that Duryodhan's envy, if it cannot be solved, it cannot be eliminated, then he had to be eliminated. So Krishna arranged, either the envy or the envious has to go, else that will create more disturbance for the people who are actually following the path of dharma. They will find difficult to deal with their own envy and envy for Krishna. And therefore it is a collective responsibility of the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada said, similar way, go and spread Krishna, the name of Krishna, the message of Krishna and the service of Krishna. And if you do that, there's no scope. Let there be competition for that, but without envy. Let there not be any complacency. Let there not be any slackness. Let there be complete cooperation and total determination. But without envy, it will become very successful, and the whole world will see the light of Godhead while being in this material world. Shripad Ramacharya ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.